There are significant times for the church. And while it's the exact date or not, there are times and seasons that we honor, that we observe, because they bring us into a place of focus concerning our faith. This is one of them. There are many that celebrate the various feasts and observances of many of the practices that have come down through the generations, many of the Jewish practices even. All over our nation and other parts of the world, believers are observing Pentecost, Pentecost Sunday. Many believe that it was on the day of Pentecost that the church was birthed, that the church was launched. And so it's good for us . I was asked what makes this one a little different. I'm switching mics now. For us as a house, because we haven't always focused in on the Pentecost Sunday and some of the other things that are part of the observances within the Christian faith. What made this different for me? Thank you, team. Eric, please stay with me. What makes this different is because we find ourselves in a place that's not unlike the early church, even once they had received Holy Spirit. Before Jesus went to the cross, he shared with his disciples, he said, "I will not leave you comfortless, but I will send the Comforter." And he was talking about the Holy Spirit. It says, "And he will come and he will lead and guide you into all truth." He came with a specific assignment. After the resurrection, in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 1, it says this: "The first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after he had by the Holy Spirit given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. To these he also presented himself alive after his sufferings, by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days. Say 40 days. For a period of 40 days. Says, and speaking to them on things concerning the kingdom of God, gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, 'You heard of from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.' So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, 'Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom of Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power.'" Say power. Come on, say power.
Power.
"You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witness both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and the other most remote parts of the earth. Pentecost simply means 50. That's what the word Pentecost means. It means 50. The significance of it has to do with the practices that go all the way back to Leviticus, called the Feast of Weeks. The Feast of Weeks was to occur 7 full weeks after the first Feast of First Fruits. Thus, it was named Weeks. Coming 7 weeks after the beginning of Passover, the festival always fell on the first day of the week, Sunday. It was the only pilgrimage confined to a single day. The worshiper was to present a wave offering of 2 loaves of bread composed of 2/10 of ephah, a fine flour. In addition, along with 7 male lambs, 1 bull and 2 rams, were to be presented as burnt offering to the Lord. A male goat was sacrificed as a sin offering, and 2 male lambs were given for a fellowship offering. No work was done on this day. During the celebration of this feast, the Israelites were to remember the poor, for they were reminded to leave the corners of the field for the poor and the alien to glean. When Jesus said to them, he said, in not many days the Holy Spirit will come, he recognized, I've been with you now 40 days. He knew that on the 50th day, they would experience the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So he said, in not many days. The promise, the purpose, the power of Pentecost. The promise, the purpose, and power of Pentecost. Just as Jesus said in Acts 2, verse 1, we see there it says, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. The promise, the purpose, the power of Pentecost. When we read in the text, we find that they went and gathered themselves together. There were 120 of them in the upper room. Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers were there. They gathered and they were waiting. Say, they were waiting. They were waiting. Say again, they were waiting. They were waiting. How many of you know that it's hard to wait for something that you really don't know what you're waiting for? How many know that? A matter of fact, one of the reasons why I believe God has given us the office and the gift of prophetic ministry is to help us to be encouraged while we're waiting. Give us a glimpse. Give me a glimpse. Just give me something that I can hold on to while I'm working through this process, while I'm trying to still figure this out. Now, the apostles, they had to their advantage that Jesus was with them 40 days with convincing signs and proofs and talking to them about the kingdom of God. But yet there was still this place of waiting, waiting for the promise, not quite understanding the purpose, but knowing he said, you will have power. And when I look through the book of Acts, every instance where God is introducing himself, his plan of salvation, in every instance, he also introduces Holy Spirit. He always introduces Holy Spirit. Even with Paul, in Acts 9, and I won't read, but in Acts 9, when God speaks to Ananias and says to him, I'm sending Paul your way. You're going to minister to Paul. You'll remember that Paul was already threatening Christians and putting them in jail. And so he already had a reputation that many believers were afraid of. Ananias was afraid. As a matter of fact, he said, God, do you know who this guy is? But he said, I've chosen him as my instrument. He will bear my name before the Gentiles and kings. He says, and I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. When Ananias got to him, he said this, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus appeared to you on the road by which you were coming. He sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because you see, just as Jesus said to his disciples, wait until you be endued with power. He also knew if Paul was going to complete his assignment, he would need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He would need that power. What makes this Pentecost so different than others in past times and churches and denominations and traditions? I believe it's unlike any other time. There is a heightened sense for the church that we need the power of God. We need the power of God. I need to say it again and get about five more of y'all to say amen with the three that did. We need the power of God. We need the power of God. Oh. We've preached. We've taught. We've sang. We've sung. But we need the power of God. We need the power of God. We need the power of God. We need a Holy Ghost invasion, a supernatural interruption, a God-led revolution where miracles are the rule. We need the resurrecting power of the resurrected one to fall in this place, reviving the hearts of all. We need the power of God. I need you to clap your hands like you do need the power of God. I believe that we have found a place of complacency. And if we don't get this moment, if we don't grab a hold of this moment, if we don't press into, push into, wait on the power, cry out for the power of God, once again, we will find ourselves anemic. We will find ourselves continuing to be weak. And as a church, we will be irrelevant in the midst of a pandemic. We will be irrelevant in the midst of murder in our streets. We will be irrelevant in the midst of the rioting in our streets. We need the power of the Holy Ghost, and we need it now. I need you to just shout like you know. Come on, church. Come on, church. You're patty caking. Come on, church. Come on, church. Come on, church. We have relegated this to just a small touch, a little dab will do you. We have relegated the Holy Spirit to something that we feel, not somebody that flows through us. We have relegated it to a wonderful time and a wonderful place that we find ourselves in. But he's not really alive working in us on the inside that produces any real power, any real authority that causes you to speak to your situation, causes you to speak to your body, causes you to speak to your finances, causes you to speak to your kids, speak to your spouse, speak to your relationships, and see God begin to line things up so that you and I are walking in the power. Paul says, I called. God says, I called Paul, but he's going to need the power. The promise, the purpose, the power of Pentecost. What makes this one so different? What makes this one different is that now we're facing things that are touching the globe like we've never seen before. What makes this different is I believe God himself has says, now I must bring revelation. I must bring light. I must bring instigation into my church in order to shift them into a place where they are able to see, recognize, draw on my invisible kingdom, just like they recognize that virus that everybody's afraid of right about now. But that revelation in reality doesn't come out of a priest's message. It comes out of a stirring on the inside. Paul spoke to Timothy when he called Timothy into his place of ministry. And he said, look, I recognize you're a little anxious. You may be even a little afraid. But he said, but you need to know this. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. You need to be in a place where you're saying, I'm wearing this mask for you, not for me. It's okay to wear the mask, but I'm wearing it for you, not for me. I have found that place in God. At the end of the day, he is my protection. He is my source. Now hear me when I say this. I understand that there can be pre-existing conditions, so don't get mad at me. And if you happen to be watching, just listen to me. But the same way that you and I are being moved this way and this way and this way by the narratives of what we hear about the things that are going on, God wants you and I to be able to stand sure-footed, flat-footed, not moved, not swayed, because we are in an unshakable kingdom. I may sway just a little bit. I may move just a little bit, but you're not going to move me off of this word. You're not going to move me out of this place. You're not going to move me out of this place. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, nor stands in the way of the sinner. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted, 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 planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth fruit in his season. Make no mistake about it. This is different. What makes this Pentecost different is the way you walk it out. You see, they waited, Chris. They waited. They just waited. Doesn't say they sang songs. Didn't say they got the top 40 worship songs and just kind of entered in with nobody on keyboards. They just waited. They just waited. What have we done when we say to God, we'll give you 1 hour? Matter of fact, we're not even going to give you an hour. We're going to give you 70 minutes. And then we're out of here. No wonder. No wonder there's no power. No wonder there's no real power. We can have a good time. We can have a good time. But do we leave out of here and infused with power? restored in power. And after the devil tried to beat you down all week long, you made yourself, you made your way into the presence of God in the company of the saints and got yourself built back up again. And it wasn't just a song. It was the Holy Spirit on the inside of you that brought you to a place of being able to settle your mind once again. I know I took a few hits last week, but I'm not taking them this week. I'm going back into that job. I'm going back into that situation, and I'm going to handle my business. Someone asked me the question, where is the church in all of this? Where is the church in the midst of the deaths that are taking place? Do you not recognize the defiance, the spirits that are operating? We do well to have our cameras and we're taking pictures of it, but is anybody praying? Is anybody binding? Is anybody saying, get off of him in the name of Jesus? I bind you, devil, in the loose your hold off of him. Spirit of murder, get off of him right now in the name of Jesus. Where is that? Where is that? Where is that power? Oh, no, you won't. It's not in the rioting. It's not in the protesting. It's in a praying church who operates out of the power of the Holy Ghost. Come on, church. Come on, church. Come on, church. Come on, hear me. Hear me when I tell you this. Hear me when I tell you this. Hear me when I tell you this. We've become complacent. You know, we stood up here. And the reason why we sang it as long as we did, we need you to move. Because I said we're going to wait right here. Just keep waiting here. Just keep waiting here. Maybe this place will shake like thunder. Just maybe a suddenly will happen. Just maybe if we'll stay here. 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 Though. If we stay here. If we stay here. They waited and they waited and they waited. What are we waiting for? I don't know. But he said, wait till we be endued with power. I don't know exactly what that's going to look like. But I'm waiting. But I'm waiting. But I'm waiting. I'm gonna keep waiting. I'm gonna keep waiting. I'm gonna keep waiting. I'm gonna keep waiting. And then suddenly it says suddenly. Suddenly, that which is in eternity that breaks forth into time and space without proper preparation or warning just shows up. Now, I'm not inciting anything. I'm just saying church. I'm talking to the people now who don't just go to church. They are the church. Our problem is we've been going, not being. Oh! We've been going, but not being. Where you going? I'm going to church. Where you going? I'm going to church. Where you going? I'm going to church. I'm going to church. I'm going to church. When you going to be the church? Just going for fellowship. I'm part of the church. I'm part of the chosen ones. I'm part of a God community. And I'm going to fellowship. I'm going to worship with other believers. Where are you going? I'm going to worship. I'm going to worship. I'm going to worship. Why are you going to? Because I'm the church. Because I'm part of the church. I'm part of the body of Christ. I'm going to worship. I'm going to worship. I'm going to work because I'm the church. What makes this one different? What makes this one different? Is if you agree with the narrative, mankind is under attack. But know this, it's nothing new. Mankind has always been under attack. It's just the information that comes to us. But there is, I believe, this onslaught that has been released in this season. That has caused a release of demonic activity like we have never known. President Trump doesn't have the answers, y'all. The church has the answers. The church is the answer. In every instance, as God advanced his church, Holy Spirit's introduced. In every instance, Holy Spirit's introduced. In Acts the 8th chapter, it says that when they heard that Samaria had received the word. Now, what makes that significant is because the Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. As a matter of fact, in John 4, the woman at the well says to Jesus, you shouldn't even be talking to me. I'm a Samaritan. But it was Jesus' way of showing love and making connection. But in Acts the 8th chapter, they received the word. And it says this, that once they were heard, the apostles heard, the Samaritans had received the word of God. They sent Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Then they began laying their hands on them, and they were receiving the Holy Spirit. In Acts the 10th chapter. You know the story in Acts the 10th chapter. Peter has these dreams, and Peter's not liking the dreams that he's having, but God says, look, it's me talking to you. He said, some men are going to come to get you. And when they come to get you, that's just the Holy Ghost, that's all. It's getting y'all's attention. It's waking you up. Stay with me. When the word comes, Peter struggles with it. He's challenged by it. Because all of his life, he's been taught a certain way. And then word comes to him that challenges what he thinks, what he's been taught, his tradition. What he doesn't recognize is a Gentile has been praying. A Gentile has been praying. Cornelius. It says his prayers have made their way up before God. And now God is sending, bringing salvation to the Gentiles. I wish somebody just lift up a shout of praise right now. Come on, lift up a shout right now. Come on. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Come on, let those rivers flow. Mondro tete ye, li endro sende de beshama mando kanda ye. Nombro shama mando si kete yo, lembro sanda de no moshata. Mendro se kidre ne le de yendo sama, membro shendo le ke la de ondo sebaya. Membro le no moshendre kete le. Indro sidro moshana de le te yo ta ye. E eno sibra mondo sa. Nenadarabo shendrete de yalaba. Nindro se kidre de shedro mombo sanda. Midle lorobo shaba. Come on, we said we wanted God to move. Come on, brote ye de. That's what we said. That's what we said. That's what we said. I'm expecting a move. I'm expecting a move. But you can't define it. Holiday, you can't script it. But you got to be in a place to discern it. You got to be in a place to discern it. You got to be in a place to discern it. You got to be in a place to discern it. You got to be in a place to discern it. You got to be in a place to discern it. You got to be in a place to discern it.
This is what happened just right now. Hallelujah. So I was talking about Peter. When Peter got to Cornelius' house, once he recognized he was supposed to be there, it says this, Acts the 10th chapter, verse 44, it says, while Peter was still speaking these words, while Peter was still talking, while Apostle John was still talking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. It says, while Peter was talking in the midst of waxing eloquent and not even got to his first closing, Judge, the Holy Spirit fell. Just cut him off. It says all the circumcised believers who came with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they were hearing them speaking with tongues and exalting God. Peter said, surely no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we did. And he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and then asked him to stay a few days. Would you please be seated? We're wrapping it up. I think we are. It's not unlike God to just demonstrate what it is we're trying to convey. But here's the thing, and I've always thought this relative to worship, having had the opportunity to teach on worship all over the world. It's one thing to teach it. It's another thing to do it. It's one thing to teach on the Holy Spirit. It's another thing to operate in the Holy Spirit. What's different about this Pentecost is I believe churches all over the nation have arrived in a place where they're saying, we've got to take the limits off of ourselves and allow God to be God any way he wants to be. And that means even here at Ayers,
that's right,
Covenant Church, we have enjoyed and continue to enjoy the wonderful presence of God. But there's a place of power that we've yet to see. There is a place of power that we've yet to experience. And I believe today is just a glimpse, because I sense a stirring and a renewed sense in the hearts of those that are here. And maybe many of you that are watching right now, you need to get here next week. You need to get here next week. You may be watching and you've never even heard of our church, but you live here in the Hamilton area. You need to come. Because I'm telling you, what we experienced today and what we just experienced is just a small glimpse,
hallelujah,
of God showing up and interrupting. Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
When we're truly yielded to God, it's not an interruption. It's an adjustment. It's not an interruption. It's an adjustment. And I don't know about you, but we say it week after week. We just want to find where he is and camp out right there. We just want to find where he is and just camp out right there. That's why we'll just start singing and we'll just keep going till we find that. We just want to find where he is and camp right there. But how many know there's more than one place in God at any given time? And sometimes we think this is all that he has for us. When he says, just stay with me, I'm getting ready to take you somewhere else. We're going to go down the road a little bit more. We're going to turn a corner here. Or I'm getting ready to just translate you. I'm getting ready to do an Enoch on you. I'm getting ready to just take you out of your current place and set you over in another spot. I'm going to do with you like I did. Supernatural place is what God has